on ktalk.co.za,
on the app,
on DSTV channel 885,
and across the city on 567 AM.
Well, I think we're about to elevate your day, because that is the catch line of the car that we are going to be reviewing. Any questions are welcome, except for those questions asking for valuations of vehicles. So please go to a dealership and they'll give you a proper valuation, because we can't see the dent and scratches. We'll direct you to cars.co.za website to do some research there if you are thinking of selling your car. Anything else, you can call us at 0214 460 567, or leave a voice note on 0725671567. This week we speak to Chura about the Lexus ES300 hybrid, and to talk about South Africa's cheapest electric car, which has officially gone on sale. And Chura, very good afternoon to you and welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon, Zain. Thanks for having me on the show.
Their catchphrase is, it says, elevate your day, tech on another level. Now, you're driving this car. Tell me, is that the truth?
I think that it's incredible how far luxury premium cars have come, because I think to have an experience like I'm having right now in the car, say maybe 20 years ago, 10 years ago, you would have had to buy something extremely expensive, like a Bentley or a Rolls Royce or something like that. This Lexus just feels so well put together and so carefully engineered and so thoughtfully engineered that you just have this really wonderful motoring experience, this really premium motoring experience with very little road noise, very little wind noise, very little noise coming from the drivetrain. And it all sort of results in this extremely relaxing, comforting, or comfortable drive. So yeah, maybe, I don't know about elevate, that's maybe a strong word, but it'll certainly, I think, relax you after a long day in the office, probably. It's a very relaxing way to get around.
This is a hybrid vehicle, and I know from chatting to you over the last 2 to 3 months that you've been focusing more on hybrid vehicles. Is that the way we're moving into? Because I know that Audi made a commitment also to move towards hybrid vehicles by 2023.
So I think that South Africa is quite an interesting case for hybrid vehicles, because we don't necessarily have the infrastructure right now to support the mass adoption of electric vehicles. And Toyota South Africa in particular is banking heavily on the fact that South Africans will turn to hybrids if the price is right. So for instance, the Corolla Cross Hybrid, which I've been driving, is actually cheaper than the equivalent petrol-powered unit, which I think marks the first time in South Africa that an alternative drivetrain is actually cheaper than a traditional drivetrain. Toyota and Lexus have been doing hybrids. Funny enough, I actually couldn't believe this when I researched it, but the first hybrid Toyota went onto the market in Japan in 27 years ago. So they've been doing this a really, really long time, and they've become very, very good at it. And to put it into perspective, this Lexus ES that I'm driving is about the same size as, say, like a BMW 5 Series or Mercedes E-Class, but I'm averaging 5.8 liters to the 100. So that's nearly 20 kilometers on every liter of fuel in what is a very luxurious, large car. So the hybrid tech really, really works. It really does bring down the fuel consumption quite substantially. And I think it does represent potentially a stopgap technology between where we are now and where we could be with a sort of fully electric future.
17 minutes to 2, chatting to Chira de Siena in our Car Talk section, and you can read up on Chira's articles at cars.co.za. There are two, or what I've seen is the ES300HEX and the ES300H. Tell us about the features in this particular vehicle. What can I look forward to? You know, all that driving, that sheer driving pleasure, everything at your fingertips, and you know, you don't have to basically lift your finger to do anything. Because I think when you're buying a vehicle in this particular price range, you are looking for the top level of luxury.
Yeah, I think if you consider the fact that the cheapest BMW 5 Series you can buy now is nearly 1 million rand. It's just under 1 million rand. this Lexus actually starts to look like very reasonable money. So you can get into the hybrid for $774. And then the one I'm driving is the very, very top spec SE model, which is 948,000 Rand. But, you know, once you, if you go for this SE, there's no more boxes to tick. Pretty much every single option has been thrown into this car. And there are a lot of really nice comfort features. So for instance, the front seats are heated and cooled, and so are the back seats actually, which is quite rare in the motoring world for the back seats to have that much comfort. And there's lots of nice little touches. So for instance, on the side of the front passenger seat, so sort of on the side where maybe the passenger's shoulder would be, there's a set of buttons there. And I was quite curious because I thought to myself, why would there be buttons there? Because that's so uncomfortable, you know, for the passenger to reach. But it's actually intended for the rear seat passenger to control the front seat so that they can make more leg room for themselves. So they don't have to, you know, try reach and find the seat buttons. They're actually sort of comfortably placed on the seat and easy to reach for the rear passenger. There's lots of nice little touches like that, which all combine to make this car feel very luxurious. And the interior is very much built for comfort. The seats are very, very comfortable indeed. But the whole car is built for comfort. You know, the car industry went through a time where basically everyone was trying to go as fast as possible around the Nürburgring in every, you know, sort of vehicle on the market. This is the sort of car that doesn't care about the Nürburgring at all, not interested in doing lap times. This is really, really built for cruising. And you see it all over the cabin, and you feel it in the way the car is engineered and the way it's designed.
So this is the car for a long trip from here to Joburg in absolute comfort, and you'll reach Joburg well rested.
I think so. I think you know, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting old, but I get into the car after a hard day's work, and I don't even turn on the radio. Sorry to Cape Talk management, but it's just because I need some time alone just to sort of process the day, you know. I just need some time in my own headspace. And I suppose, you know, when I was like a 20-year-old petrol head, I wanted to get in something that was manual and made loud noises and had a massive sound system. And, you know, that was kind of what excited me then. Now I just want to be comfortable. I just want to go home in comfort. And I don't know, these big sort of luxury barges are actually starting to appeal to me more and more. But I am getting some grays on the side of my head. So, you know, maybe it's all coming together.
I drove quite a while ago. I drove, and I'm talking about quite a while ago when I was still very much involved into BMWs. And I drove the BMW, I think it was the 530. And there's just no comparison for comfort in life. You know, if you want that kind of comfort in a car, you know, then you buy that particular vehicle. Take to another level this afternoon. We're chatting about the Lexus ES300H EX and the ES300H, and the one that Ciro de Siena is driving this afternoon. And of course, you can find more details on cars.co.za. Is this the answer to or possible answer to some of our very high petrol prices?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think when petrol broke through that very psychological 20 Rand to the litre barrier, I definitely noticed a shift on social media and you know, the comments we get on our YouTube channel, where people, I think, for the first time sort of en masse became more interested in alternative drivetrains for their vehicles. And I do think Toyota's gamble is going to pay off, because, you know, that not only are they putting these cars on the market, but they've also invested over 2 billion Rand into their Durban plant to start making hybrids locally and to bring down the pricing. So they really put their money where their mouth is, I think, when it comes to this. Look, the Lexus products are not made here. They are fully imported. But everything benefits from the Toyota Group's expertise when it comes to fuel consumption. And, you know, if you were coming, let's say you were driving a luxury car with a V8 motor or something like that, and let's say you were averaging 10, 12 to the 100, conservatively, I would say, let's just say 10 for argument's sake. If you get into this car, you don't lose any of the luxury or the power that you would from another luxury car, but you're now halving your fuel bill. You know, that you're down in the fives to the hundred instead of the tens to the hundred or the twelves to the hundred. And I think that's a really interesting proposition for most people. I think even if you can afford a million, 2 million, 3 million rand cars, petrol is still a grudge purchase. Nobody wants to buy petrol. So the less of it you have to buy, the better. And I don't think it gets much better. I don't think you'll find much better consumption than this in the luxury car segment.
And also, looking at what the specs are, it says, absolutely no emissions in electric vehicle mode. So I think that's also one of the big things, that will take this vehicle forward. And a total system output of 160 kilowatts and torque of rated at 221 newton meter. The outside of the car, it really looks incredible. I want to call it a beast, but it really, really has a brilliant and a beautiful design, sort of in line with most of the other cars of this nature, but also a standout feature on its own is the outside design.
I mean, I have to respectfully disagree with you, Zaid, because I can't stand the way it looks. I think it's so fussy. It's got so many angles. It's like somebody was playing Fruit Ninja and then, just like took some sheet metal and cut it into a million pieces. I don't know. It doesn't work for me. Look, sort of styling and of cars and design is an extremely subjective thing, and everyone has their own sort of taste and flavors, but it just doesn't work for me. And then also the one I'm driving has this sort of banana milkshake colored interior, which just looks it just looks like it's going to get stained at the first opportunity. I wouldn't tick the banana milkshake interior option if I was going to spec my Lexus. Each to their own. Each to their own.
But these things are actually individually designed. You can walk in and say, I would like to have a white one with black interior with red stitching or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
Chiro, we've got a voice note for you, and this voice note is coming, and that's on 1404.
Hi, this is Daniel here from Cape Town. I just want to check with Chiro with what his opinion is of the Range Rover Evoque as a second-hand vehicle. Thanks, bye.
Chiro?
It's a tough one. I mean, I don't have any sort of hard and fast data on, say, the reliability after warranty reliability, rather, of something like a Range Rover Evoque. Look, I would say that the Range Rover, Land Rover products do have a bit of a reputation for being quite tricky to maintain and quite expensive to maintain. I think you'd have to go into it with your eyes open. But at the same time, though, they're usually the sort of cars where if you buy them with a little bit of warranty left, or say just outside the warranty period, they are the sort of cars that have always been serviced at the franchise dealer, for instance, and generally been very, very well looked after. I think if you can minimize your risk by trying to find the youngest car possible with the lowest mileage possible, that's generally the rule of thumb to minimize your risk when shopping on the secondhand market, is just try to find the lowest mileage you can. There are some options where, and this might be a good idea if the car is quite far out of its warranty, if it's younger than 15 years, which it will be because it's an Evoque and they haven't been out that long, but you can source a third party aftermarket warranty for the car, which will just give you some protection. And, if something major goes on the car, at least you won't be alone in absorbing that financial shock from having to replace something like the gearbox, for instance, or whatever the case may be. So if I'm not mistaken, hippo.co.za has an aftermarket warranty comparison tool. So that's probably a good place to start. Or what you could do is approach a dealership and ask them to quote you on extending the warranty in-house so that it'll be provided by the manufacturer. That's another option to give yourself some protection.
Chatting to Chiro the Sienna this afternoon. We're chatting cars. We were chatting about the Lexus ES300HEX and the ES300H. And he says it doesn't look nice outside, but then, of course, he's driving a banana color, cream color one. You know, you got to put your foot down. It's not only comfort; it's actually the aesthetics that also matter in this particular case. You know, you were chatting and you sort of alluded to warranties and stuff like that. And this morning I had a long conversation and we took out a contract. You know, normally the car dealership gives you the contract and they say, okay, this is the price X VAT. This is what is added to this stuff, and this is what all gets added to it. And as somebody called in and says that the paint protection is a safety film over the new paint, and I'm saying, you know what, if I'm expected to buy a new car, I would expect the paint actually to be in good nick on that particular vehicle. But what can I take off the contract? Can I just take off, like, safety film, for instance, if I don't want it? Can I take off the paint protection if I don't want it? Because when we added up all of those extras and a delivery cost of 4,200 Rand, when we added all of that, it came to about 11,000 Rand. Now, 11,000 Rand, on a contract where you're going to buy a 260,000 rand vehicle, you know, it impacts on your payment eventually. So what can and can we not take off?
Sure. I think the safety film that they're referring to is this new technology. It's a clear film, which you can barely see on the car. I mean, it's particularly well hidden. And it's usually over the front sort of third of the car. So the fenders, the bumper, and a bit of the bonnet. And what it does is it protects particularly well from stone chips, from the car suffering from stone chip damage. So I suppose it would be up to you whether you think that, you know, how much open road driving you're going to do, because that's usually where most stone chip damage occurs. And is it worth protecting the car from those stone chips? And I suppose that's how you would have to decide on whether you want the safety film. So I think where this comes from, generally speaking, and I mean this with the, you know, with the utmost of respect to car dealers, but it's as far as I'm aware, it's called the second gross, and essentially sometimes the margin on the actual sale of the vehicle is actually not that large for the dealer, maybe sort of between 4% and 7%. And so to sort of plump up the sale and to get a bit of extra money on the bottom line, a couple of things are added as standard, and then a delivery fee is charged as well. Look, you're well within your rights to ask what that delivery fee comprises of. I mean, what is it? Is it a full tank of petrol? Is it a car wash? You know, maybe you can negotiate them down a little bit on that. I don't think a dealer would want to walk away from the sale, you know? So I think you do have a little bit of power to negotiate down. But I have had people reach out to me in these situations. I had somebody who, she was buying about a 330,000 Rand Hyundai, and the added options or the added line items on the invoice almost came to 30,000 Rand. What? And she reached out to me and she said, you know, what is all of this? It's a little cheeky, I think. A delivery fee, I mean, you know, how much can it actually cost to fill up the car and wash it, for instance?
Exactly.
But then again, I've never run a dealership. I'm not sure what all of this entails.
And they wanted to take off the plastic and that kind of thing. I mean, I can pull the plastic off myself. Chira, I've actually got a voice note. I just want to cram this voice note in quickly about the fees when buying a second-hand car.
Just a question. The on-road charges or the on-road fees for second-hand cars, is that a fair charge? I've just heard a couple of people say that on-road fees are paid at first registration and not for second-hand cars. Please, can you just clarify that, and can I use that as a negotiation tool when purchasing a second-hand vehicle?
Chira?
Zain, that's an interesting one. I can't say for certain that I know the answer to that. Something I'm happy to look into. I would say that if you are buying from a secondhand car from a dealer, I do think they are allowed to sort of charge on the road fees. But again, I stand to be corrected. So let me not give a 100% answer either way. And I'll look into that and get back to yourself or Pippa next week.
And that's Chira Desana chatting to us about cars, and he promises that he will have a look at exactly what those on-the-road fees are. And as we're heading forward into next week, Chira, again next week between 1:30 and 2 o'clock, and hopefully we'll have an answer for you.